Eric, thank you very much for doing this. How are you?
I'm great. It's an 8-game winless streak, Scotty.
Oh, yeah, we're not allowed to call it a losing streak, are we? Because they picked up some points. It all depends on the spin, right?
Well, that's the way they've kept the record since the 05-06 lockout. So we're all about the details here. So
we'll defer to that. The seats are always somewhat warm in Montreal, given the nature of the market. How does the current temperature compare to the heat that was on Marc Bergevin 2 years ago?
About as hot as it gets, particularly for a general manager that's in place now in his 8th season. And, you know, the Canadians are staring down the possibility of being the fourth addition and or staring down the possibility of being the third addition in the 110-year history of the team to miss the playoffs 4 out of 5 years. I don't think anybody wants their name attached to a record like that. So, you know, it's understandably warm here, but with 55 games to go, for as much panic as there is in the fan base, I don't think anybody in the organization right now is panicked. Are they concerned? Absolutely. And they should be. You lose 8 games in a row, it's not a situation where you can sit back and say everything's going to be fine. So urgency is putting it mildly when it comes to the situation they're in and what they face in playing the New York Islanders tonight at the Bell Center, and they need to come out with 2 points.
What is the minimum expectation for this team this year?
The minimum expectation for this team would be that they'd be competitive all the way through for a playoff spot. I think, you know, the reality of the NHL right now, you look at 3 teams up top in Boston, St. Louis, and Washington, and you could probably put the next 25 in queue on a pretty similar plane. And yes, there's a variance in talent between some of those teams, but a bunch of things need to go right for them to make the playoffs. And, you know, you've seen some good teams this year, like Dallas and Toronto, go through hard times. Dallas started 1-7-1, I believe. And, you know, Toronto recently lost 6 games straight and then fired their coach. And now they've won 4 of 5. And, you know, it's a whole new ball game. So that's the NHL now. And I think Canadians fans are cognizant of the reality of parity in this league right now. And I think they expect it with little turnover from last year's roster to this year's roster that there's a familiarity factor that would enable them to maybe take a step forward this year. I think that if you polled the majority of their fans at the beginning of the year, they thought this is the year that they're going to make the playoffs. It's still a possibility, but obviously the odds get longer with each loss that piles up.
Sportsnet, Eric Engels joining me as the Habs try to bump their slump tonight in Montreal hosting the New York Islanders. You've watched this team. You know the composition of the roster. How many of the answers do you believe lie within?
I think this team is capable of playing much better hockey, or I should say achieving much better results. And I'm going to base that on what they showed in their last 2 games, which obviously are still losses, but much more to the template that Claude Julien is looking for in terms of the way they play. And, you know, for a while they really slid and were giving up way too many quality opportunities. And though Carey Price obviously wasn't playing his best hockey, in fact, it was far from it. He wasn't being given a chance to get his legs underneath him and find the way back to his game with the kind of chances the Canadians were giving up. So, you know, the whole group here realized the necessity to not force things offensively, especially given that I think right now that they're the third highest scoring team at 5-on-5. They haven't had problems manufacturing offense, and I believe their power play is right in the middle of the pack at 16th overall. At least that's where it was when I checked last night. So, you know, in realizing they got to focus on the defensive side of the puck, they got back to a game plan that should generate wins. Unfortunately, it didn't, because confidence and frustration you know, hit a different level once you've lost 6 games in a row, and it seems though a little mistake can cost you dearly. They need some good bounces. It's something Claude Julien was talking about over the last 2 days. You know, he talked about winning a Stanley Cup with the Bruins in 2011 and saying they wouldn't have gotten there without those good bounces. And at a time where things are tense and tight, and like I said, miniature mistakes can become so magnified, yeah, you do need a couple bounces to go your way. And I think it would make a big difference for the Canadians if they could just play a really good game like they did their last 2 and end up on the winning side.
You mentioned the problem hasn't been scoring. It's been keeping the puck out of their own net. We've heard rumors about the possible acquisition of a left side defenseman for quite some time. How much does that fix, in your opinion?
It would help. It would help a lot. Especially given the news that came out yesterday, Victor Mete is one of the better guys they have on that side, is going to be out for at least 2 weeks with an ankle injury. This was an area of need going back to the offseason. They tried to acquire Jake Gardner and weren't able to convince him to come to Montreal. They acquired Ben Sherratt, who right now, without a doubt in my mind, is playing the best hockey of his life after a tough start to the season and getting adjusted to a completely different system in Montreal than what he was playing in Winnipeg. But they need help there. And it's not a secret. It's not a secret that Marc Bergevin is trying to keep, or, you know, but you got to ask yourself, you know, how many teams out there on December 3rd are looking to ship out a top four defenseman for a price that, you know, any general manager across the league wouldn't balk at this point. It's a very difficult situation. You know, I think everybody is looking at Marc Bergevin right now and saying he needs to do something drastic. And, you know, I'm not excluded from the bunch who believed, at least after Sunday's loss against Boston, that he needed to do something, that he couldn't sit on his hands and do nothing. But the possibility of making an impactful trade, he could search for value right now on the market and try to pull one of the type of moves he's been very successful at in his tenure as GM. But really prying out an impactful top four defenseman on December 3rd, some 80 days away from the trade deadline, is completely unrealistic in my mind. So they have to work with what they have. They have to play good team defense to account for that area of concern that they have. And if the goaltender and Carey Price looks the way he did against Boston in the loss on Sunday, I think they'll be okay.
The Montreal Canadiens are mired in an 8-game winless streak. I'm in conversation with Sportsnet's Eric Engels on that subject. You mentioned Carey Price. The goaltending situation is a complex one right now in Montreal. They just waived Keith Kincaid, so they haven't been getting quality starts from their backup. As you mentioned earlier, Price hasn't been as good, certainly recently, as we know he is capable of being. What is the biggest issue with the goaltending situation in Montreal in your mind?
Well, it's twofold. One, like I mentioned, you know, the type of chances the Canadiens were giving up, not just over this skid, but obviously going back through their first 20 games where they put together a good record. You know, he played pretty well given the fact that they were giving up really good quality scoring chances, and not so much volume, but the actual quality of them and where the pucks are coming from in terms of, you know, right in the slot and in the scoring areas that teams like to take advantage of. And that was one issue. The other is that Price's game dipped in November, as it has over the last couple of years, for whatever reason. And, you know, when you continue to give up those scoring chances while your goaltender's play dips, you're not giving him much of a chance to reverse course. So that's one issue. The second issue, Keith Kincaid, you know, whether it was his fault completely or not, didn't inspire much confidence with his play and the limited opportunity he got here. And I think part of that has to do with the fact that, you know, he came here on a one-year, $1.75 million deal, obviously looking to resurrect his career and, you know, with the expectations he'd have to prove himself, but also was sold on the concept that he'd be used a little bit more frequently than he was to start. And the whole idea was to manage Carey Price's load. That didn't end up happening for whatever reason. And I think, you know, there's two parts to that. One is that, you know, they weren't too inspired by what Keith Kincaid was offering. And two, I think Claude Julien may be on a slightly different page than management in terms of what he wants Price's workload to be, because I think he sees an elite goaltender that he wants to ride. And it just, you know, for whatever reason, hasn't worked. And I think Marc Bergevin, as I mentioned, I said that he needed to do something. He couldn't just sit down and do nothing in terms of any kind of move for his team. He made a minor one yesterday in waving Kincaid and sending him down to the American Hockey League and calling up 20-year-old Caden Primeau. But it's a minor one that could have some serious implications, because if it solves a problem they've been having and enables them to give Price a bit more rest and get something better out of him and gives Primeau some confidence and an opportunity in his NHL debut to steal some points for this team, which I think he's capable of doing given his talent level, that could be a big thing swinging in their favor.
I think you just outlined one of the problems certain organizations have had with goaltending in the era we exist right now. I think most people are of the mind that if you can start your number one guy 55, maybe 60 games, but probably somewhere in the mid-50s, maybe even lower, and have him fresh for the playoffs, that's the ideal situation. But there's two parts to Carey Price. There's Carey Price, the goaltender, and we also know there's the contract that Carey Price carries as well. How much pressure does that contract put on Carey Price and him having to play so much in Montreal?
And it puts a lot more pressure on the optics around Carey Price than it does the man himself. You know, if you know anything about Carey Price, and I think a lot of people in your area do, this is a guy that is not going to take any more external pressure than, you know, the internal pressure he puts on himself. I don't think it adds anything really for him. You know, at the end of the day, he's got what's been labeled before as the loneliest job in pro sports. He'd be the starting goaltender for the Montreal Canadiens in the footsteps of greats like Dryden and Patrick Roy and, you know, before them, Georges Vezina, Jacques Plante, the list goes on and on. That's a lot of pressure. But Carey Price, you know, is a unique individual who was chosen fifth overall in 2005 for the exact purpose of being able to hold up to that pressure. And I think in becoming the winningest goaltender in franchise history, he's proven he's capable of doing that. So if you want to add a zero to his contract, I don't think it changes all that much for him. It's it is a situation optically where, you know, I think people in the fan base say, you know, it's got to be perfection for what he's being paid. As far as the coaching staff is concerned, I don't think they look at his contract and say, well, we're paying him this amount, we got to get this amount out of him. I think they look at him and say, we're paying him this amount because we believe he's the best goaltender in the world and we're going to ride him. So I think, does that answer your question?
Yeah, no, it absolutely does. It absolutely does. I think you went all the directions I wanted you to go with that. This one may be more difficult to answer. Marc Bergevin, we've seen him, by some people's particular opinion, be called one of the worst GMs in hockey 2 years ago. Last year, that stock rose a lot, and he was hailed by some as a hero for some of the moves he made for that organization. What does the general fan in Montreal think of Marc Bergevin's performance over the breadth of his career there?
You know what, I don't know if I could speak for the general fan because it's a mercurial issue, but I could speak for myself and what I feel. I think, you know, you go back a couple of years ago where they bottomed out at 28th and, you know, leading to that, failed to sign Andrei Markov and Alex Radulov to contracts and replace them with players like Carl Alzner and you know, what they did up front and bringing in a guy like Mark Strait. You know, to me, after that season, I think, you know, there was absolutely grounds to fire Marc Bergevin. And once the decision was made by Jeff Molson to keep Bergevin in place, I think he was very much set up to be successful because there was only one direction to take the Canadiens in, and that was to sell off some assets, build up some long-term assets. And I will give Bergevin full credit because just because you're set up for success doesn't mean that you will be successful. And the job that him and Trevor Timmons have done and their pro scouting has done in terms of on the trade market, you look at trades like Max Domi for Alex Galchenyuk, Joel Armia for nothing. They gave up literally nothing to get him. You know, these types of moves, good players coming into Montreal and the type of assets they've collected through the draft and hoarding picks and making sure they keep holding on to them and let Trevor Timmons do his job, they deserve full marks for that job. Now, you know, you bring it into the current situation. Like I said at the top here, you don't want to be the GM attached to a record that only two additions prior to you in the 110-year history of the team have missed the playoffs 4 out of 5 years. You don't want to be a part of that, and it's already hard enough. And I think, you know, the goal that they set out was to make the playoffs this year, and I think it's imperative that they do, because if you really want to make progress as an organization, you're not just doing it by building up young star caliber talent. You're doing it by giving that talent the type of experience it needs moving forward so that the process becomes shorter than it would otherwise. You know, you look at the Leafs and what they've done over a few years, and people tend to forget that their best players are some of the youngest players, you know, around. They're all under 22 years old, and the experience they've gotten in the playoffs should be able to catapult them to the next level by the next time they get there if they continue to build on what they're doing right now with Sheldon Keefe. So all to say, you know, Marc Bergevin and the Canadiens need to make the playoffs this year, despite the fact that the long-term plan they've put in place is an excellent one and the future looks bright. I don't think that'll be enough for him to keep his job if they miss the playoffs.
Eric, sometimes they're good, sometimes they're bad. They are always interesting, which keeps you on your toes. Thank you very much for shedding some light on what's going on in Montreal right now. Really appreciate the time.
Happy to do it anytime.
That's Eric Engels of Sportsnet in Montreal.